We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard, Marty Griffin back with me on Monday, enjoying spring break, we'll call it that. I've been hanging now with his family. And my guest this morning, former governor, the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Tom Corbett. And Governor, we always like to know the roots of where people come from. We were just talking about Galway in Ireland. I've been there. It's a magical place.
Western side of Ireland, right on the ocean.
It is.
Absolutely beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah,
Cliffs of Moher right next door.
Yes, I've been there, and you know the tremendous Irish connection here in southwestern Pennsylvania, in particular. So it's a great immigration has brought us diversity, which is the strength of the country, in my opinion. And I know that's real controversial, but something you've been working on that you're very passionate about is called Keep Our Republic. How did you get involved? How did this get started?
Well, I was invited to a meeting at Duquesne Law School the summer 2 years ago. And it is an organization. It has come from Washington, D.C. It's actually good. It's coming from Washington, D.C. It is a nonpartisan, bipartisan effort to try and establish a five-letter word in our elections, trust. And it's very hard to do. We understand that. I talked earlier in the show about how the cell phone is something that has a lot of positive, but it has a lot of negative also, because people have picked camps. They're in the red camp or the blue camp, and never the twain shall meet. Well, that's not how this country grew up. Yeah, there were always camps, always opinions, but we would at least talk about it and be able to talk about it.
One thing I remember is Ronald Reagan, when he was president, would go have a beer with Tip O'Neill,
Absolutely.
Who was Speaker of the House.
Absolutely.
And kind of talk. And just because they were on opposite sides of a theory or their beliefs, they were able to at least have a conversation. Now it's so, so divisive.
Well, when growing up, I was a Republican. I knew I was in the minority at Shaler and everywhere. But all my friends, I didn't care whether they were Republican, Democrat. I may have cared if they were communist, but other than that, I didn't care what they were. And people ask me, well, how did you get elected to these different offices? And I said, well, I have friends on both sides of the aisle. And if I don't have friends on the Democrat side, I don't get reelected or elected in the first place. And that's because we come together on the issues. What's important on the issues? And that's how I got elected. So Keep Our Republic is based upon what Franklin told an individual after the convention for the Constitution was established. He came out on the Chestnut Street, and a lady there to ask him, well, what do we have, a monarchy or democracy? And he said, we have a republic, if you can keep it. And this organization coming out of Washington has adopted that, as I said, bipartisan, but nonpartisan in regard to we have to try and reestablish that trust. They have a couple goals. Here are the goals. Let every eligible voter vote. How do you argue with that? You really can't. Let every vote be counted. Well, I think we always want that. There's some commonality there. And let the electoral count vote. Now, as you know, in this country, we don't directly elect the president. We actually elect an elector in our regions to go and vote for, in this case, either Biden or Trump, one of the two. And that's where the big argument came up four years ago with the electoral vote. And then finally, to respect the voice of the people in each state as expressed in the popular vote. Those are the goals.
As you know, great divisiveness about the integrity of the election process. And many Republicans feel that it wasn't a legitimate vote last time. But yet in the law, in the process, you're a lawyer, so you know better than I. It wasn't proven that it was fraudulent enough to change the vote.
Let me qualify that. I'm a prosecutor at heart, okay? And I have friends. They're still friends. I don't understand this. I say, show me evidence. Until I see evidence, I won't say that there was fraud.
You have to. I mean, as Absolutely. A prosecutor, right. that's your focus. You can't just go on gut. You have to prove it.
Absolutely. But there were allegations made. And what did they do? How did they spread it? I go back to the cell phone again. They spread it through this. They spread it through social media. And, well, I saw it on this my social media feed. Well, did you look at the other side? No. Okay. Yeah, I'm too much common sense. And give me evidence, you know, it's hard, fast evidence, witnesses. They never had that. And they never proved it.
So how can someone learn more about Keep Our Republic, or can they get involved?
After they can get involved. They can donate. You know, the website is keeparepublic, all one word, .org. And you can go in there. There's a number of different areas. It shows all the people involved. To give you an idea, if you remember former Judge Bob Sindrich, who was U.S. Attorney,
sure.
Democrat, he actually hired me when I became an assistant U.S. Attorney many years ago. He's on there with me. Former Congressman, Republican from the eastern part of the state, Charlie Dent's on there. Tim Lewis, if you remember, Tim Lewis was one of my assistants, became a federal judge and then a Third Circuit judge. He's Republican on there. My successor, Fred Thiemann, former Democrat U.S. Attorney, former Democrat attorney, U.S. Attorney Dave Hickton's on there. Other federal judges, Governor Thornburg's son, David, who lives over in Philadelphia, he's on the group. We're concentrating on three states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Those are the battleground states. Each state has a different organization. I'm on the national board and the state board. I'm chair of the state board.
KeepOurRepublic.org to find out more. Governor Tom Corbett. That is not former Governor Tom Corbett playing the harmonica or piano. Larry Richard with Tom Corbett. Marty's on vacation, back with me on Monday. Appreciate you coming in. We were talking about Keep Our Republic. I love the nonpartisan attempt to try to mend some fences and bring us together. That said, off the air, you mentioned because of the divisive nature of politics, especially on the federal level, where we are now, those who support Donald Trump, those who support Joe Biden, those who feel neither one should be our next president, and where are we? Somewhere in between. You said one thing may change that. I was curious, and that is?
I believe if we open up the primaries.
Why would that make a difference?
First off, in Pennsylvania, we have a closed primary. You can only, if you're Republican registered, you can only vote in the Republican primary.
Right.
Same thing if you're a Democrat. In other states, and the independents don't get to vote. If you're an independent, you can declare you want to vote in the Democrat primary one year and the Republican primary another year. If you look at the numbers, the independents now are, in Pennsylvania, are well over 1 million people, including my son, who's registered as an independent. They don't get to make a choice as to one of the two candidates. If that went to be opened up, I think you would see the extremes start coming back to the middle, because those people are going to have some influence. They have no influence in the election. So we sit here today with, you know, candidates that are selected by the parties. Some parts of it are extreme, other parts are the middle. And I have many people saying, can't we find two other presidential candidates, maybe younger? And that's another subject that's on my mind. I think we ought to have a cap. I'm going to be 75 this June. We ought to have a cap on how long you can keep running, because you don't know what's going to do with the health care. But if we open up the primaries, and a lot of my friends, we can't do that. Most of the states in the country have open primaries.
Well, most of the parties here in the state don't want that for obvious reasons. However, a cap on the age, I think a lot of people would support that. However, wouldn't that be age discrimination? Because we were looking at when should there be a mandatory retirement, and I think the state police number is the lowest that I know of, where a state trooper, and you worked with many of them.
They can, if they got in when they were 20, they can retire at 40, and they've got a whole nother career ahead of them.
But they have to retire at what, 50?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
There are other professions where it's 65, right. You know, and so on.
It wouldn't be discriminatory, because the only way you could do it is to create a constitutional amendment. If it amends the Constitution to allow for it, it would not be discriminatory.
So,
because that means the entire country voted for it.
What would be the effort to make that happen? Like, I mean,
I think we're getting close to that now. It's going to be a long time, but for the age cap, you know, that's going to be harder. However, if either one of these two are elected and they don't make a full term, you watch, people are going to start saying, maybe we need to have an age cap. If I was, you know, involved with the AARP, and I'm a member with my age, but I'm not involved with any leadership, I think they ought to be starting to push this. Those of us who are over 65, over 70, we need to understand, you know, maybe it's time to let the next generation or two generations down get much more involved and not exclude them. We're the baby boom generation. That's a long time past.
And as you well know, the people that don't like Joe Biden are saying he's physically and maybe mentally, you know, compromised.
Impaired,
compromised. And then on the other side, Donald Trump's aging too. But,
and there are people who say he's impaired too.
Yes. And so here we have this huge populace in the middle saying, to your point, are there another two? Well, so what happens if, let's just play a little game here. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen with the legality that Donald Trump, the legalities he's dealing with right now. Where will that end up and how will that affect his ability to run again in November? And what if something does happen health-wise to Joe Biden? What happens? Who steps up? Who are those people behind one or the other?
Well, let's take Biden first, because that's the easiest one to answer. If, you know, right now the vice president
steps right in.
On the Republican side, if something happened to Trump that he could no longer run, whether it's because of a criminal conviction or something like that, and I'm not even sure how that all works yet. I haven't done the research on that. But let's say he has a stroke and is incapacitated. God forbid, I don't wish that on anybody. Who would take over? Well, the party would have to nominate somebody there. That's where I think you really need to watch who he selects as his vice presidential running candidate.
And when would that likely happen? When will he announce?
Well, he has to do it by the time of the convention. But I think I suspect you'll see it in the next 30, 60 days.
Really great conversation. Really important. And so much unknown here in the near future.
Absolutely.
And which way this is going to go. Coming up, I want to ask you about sports. I want to ask you about the changes in the NFL. Because I know you're a sports fan. You're not, you know, just doing legal stuff all the time now, right? As a attorney and a professor at Duquesne Law. Marty's enjoying a spring break this week. He'll be back with me on Monday. My guest is former Governor Tom Corbett, a Shaler guy, born and bred, and lives in the same house he grew up in. A farmhouse.
I wasn't born here, but the rest of that's right.
Oh, I just assume.
Everybody assumes.
Because your parents had a house here.
Yeah, we moved here. We moved into the house in 56. We moved to Pittsburgh in 55, but I lived in other parts of the state before that. I was born in Philadelphia.
Okay, we'll forget the last part. Meanwhile, every Wednesday we check in with the president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, Carlos T. Carter. Say hello to Governor Corbett.
Hello, Governor Corbett. I've met you before once, I think, the Duquesne Club for some event, I think, for Bank of America.
Well, it's nice talking to you. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
And Governor Carlos has a big announcement of his own. A new arrival, a young professional, joins the greater Pittsburgh area. So I don't want to steal your thunder, Carlos. Introduce us to your new development director.
Yes, his name is Gerard Williams. He's our new director of development and external relations at the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh. He's imported from Toledo. Not a Steeler fan yet, but we'll work on him. He's a passionate young leader who will bring new energy and fresh ideas to our development department, which is needed, you know, to enhance stakeholder engagement and support our vital mission to empower African Americans and other marginalized communities to thrive here in the region. So without further ado, here's Gerard Williams.
Gerard, welcome.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me this morning. I'm really excited to be on the show today.
How did Carlos lure you to Pittsburgh?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think first it started visionary leadership. I think when you talk about him having a true understanding about what it means for African-Americans to thrive in the Pittsburgh area and beyond. He was definitely able to paint that picture to me and to our leadership team. So it's just such an honor to be a part of a team and of an organization that is just absolutely so driven and determined to improve quality of life with African-Americans in the Pittsburgh region and beyond.
And you know who you have to talk to? You're going to have to talk to Tom Corbett at some point. I would highly recommend that. As a director of development, it's all about relationships.
Absolutely.
Right, Governor?
Yes. Good morning, Gerard.
Yes. Good morning, Governor. How are you?
Look forward to seeing you in person.
Yes. Yes, me too. Thank you so much for all your work in the community and throughout the state. I'm excited to be here.
Well, welcome to the greatest city in the country as far as I'm concerned.
I'm definitely enjoying it so far. As a proud Ohio boy, there's no place like Dayton, Ohio. But I think Pittsburgh definitely is going to do.
But we have a lot of Pittsburghers that go to Dayton.
Absolutely. I was just going to say.
Especially out of North Catholic.
There's a tremendous connection to Ohio for obvious reasons, since Ohio's our big neighbor. But you talk about Dayton and talk about, we have a lot of Ohio State fans here, too.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's out of Columbus.
Yeah, I know that's, but it's still, I think it's close enough where a lot of people from here have connections there, too. You're going to find out, Gerard, that you're a half person from everybody when you get to know people in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's not 6 degrees. It's like 2 degrees.
If that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. The city of Pittsburgh is reminds me very much of Cincinnati, which is a neighboring city, which is about 40 minutes south of my hometown, Dayton, Ohio. So it just really, really mirrors that very, very, very much so. Just like many Midwestern cities, I think all across the country, you know, having that potential to be great again. I think when we look at the Midwest particularly, its greatness was always rooted in the Industrial Revolution. And I think that a city like Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, you know, do have that opportunity to rise again to be great by looking at technology and things like that. So, again, just really excited to be to see so much potential here.
All right. As the new director of development, how can potential supporters and donors reach out to you?
Sure. So please, my email is jwilliams@ulpgh.org. So I'll say that again. That is jwilliams@ulpgh.org. And I'm also active on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. And please, I'm willing to, and I would love to have a conversation with anybody in the Pittsburgh area that is just really passionate about transformation in the city. So please just reach out and I would love to meet you.
Well, we would love for you to bring in with Carlos T. Your team sometime and meet you face to face. We welcome you to Pittsburgh.
Yes, yes. Thank you all so much again. Just extremely excited to be here. And I look forward to being a part of great things happening in the Pittsburgh area.
Good luck, Jerry.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Carlos, thank you.
My pleasure. You guys have a great day.
Gerard Williams, new director of development, the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh. And we'll make him a Steeler fan eventually, or at least a Yenzer. Make plans to attend BizCon, a business convention showcasing and empowering minority-owned businesses. This Saturday at the David Lawrence Convention Center, network with industry leaders, peers, explore products, services, and potential jobs. You can go to kdkradio.com to get details. Larry Richard with former governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Corbett. Now I want you to put your sports fan hat on, Governor, because you got your pirate jacket on. I've seen you down at spring training in the past, pre-COVID, of course. I was just down there last week, saw Dr. Patrick DeMayo.
My doctor?
Yeah, he's the AHN. Sawbones, we call him. Heads up there. And they have a great team that looks after the health of the Bucks. But you're a football fan, too. And curious to get your take on this new, I think it's maybe the most significant single rule change that I can think of in a long time in the NFL, is kickoffs, where they're going to have the kicker still at the 35-yard line, but his teammates will move into the receiving team's territory to the 40. Then 5 yards beyond that will be the other team, and the receiving team can have two receivers back. There's no fair catch. So the ball either goes right before the end zone, and there's a return, and they can't move until he touches it. And if it goes into the end zone, then they move the ball back, I think, to the 40.
Well, let me complicate this, because I was thinking about it. I was reading it last night. What do they do about the onside kick?
That's a great
question. Because he's way back there, right?
That is a tremendous question.
I've watched one game in the XFL for like 15, 20 minutes. I didn't like it when I first saw it, and I just didn't bother watching it. But what happened? Is the onside kick gone?
That's why you're attorney general. You have those kind of probing questions. You know what? That is a tremendous question.
Get Omar in line and ask Omar.
Omar Khan, the GM of the Steelers, what is the new onside kicker? Is there under that setup?
You couldn't do it.
You can't do it.
No.
That eliminates the possibility of a team getting the ball back, even though it's remote as it is, but still.
Well, unless in the way they kick it, they're able to cause a fumble or something like that, or they, you know, for some reason the two receivers back there can't get to the ball fast enough. I guess then there'd be, you know, if they kick it more than 10 yards, you know, over the line, you know, they haven't answered the questions at least in the media.
That is a great question. All right, I'm going to follow up on that one. But you say one of the other rule changes they announced, and they're at the owners' meetings in Orlando, was this tackle where you tackle from behind. Drop tackle. Use your whole body weight to spin and twist somebody. I mean, haven't we been doing that?
Well, I think they've been doing it forever. I mean, obviously, because of the value, literal value of all these players are trying to reduce injuries. That makes sense. But this one, I would not want to be an official trying to determine whether this violated that rule or not. And a lot of times, you know, when you're tackling somebody, you do anything you can to get them on the ground. Now you can't grab them by a horse collar. Okay, you know, you can adapt to that. But this is part of the natural act of tackling. I don't know how they're going to enforce that one.
Especially when you've got a smaller player trying to make a tackle on a larger sized person. They're trying to do everything they can.
You've got to use your weight. So what I think they're going to have to do in order to enforce this is start opening up almost every tackle like that that there's a flag on to review.
Well, speaking of
which, the game's going to slow down.
Review. We don't want the game to slow down. However, another part of that will apparently, when they call roughing the passer, that will be reviewable.
Good.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen it where they just touched them? And those are decisions that are made by an official in the heat of the moment, takes a look at it real quickly. Maybe they should be reviewed, because maybe when he looks at the review, that really wasn't roughing the passer.
Yeah, and every time Tom Brady got tackled, he looked at the official put up his hands like, right. And eventually, you know, guys like that get the calls. Some other guys don't. Interesting to see. That said, what do you think about all the changes, the personnel changes? The Steelers have never done as many acquisitions as they have right now.
I've been following the Steelers since 1955. And I can't remember a time that there has, and everything's different now with the free agency and everything, but the amount of people that they have let go, that's normal, but where they've actually gone out on the market and brought people in, Omar's shaking things up, and I think it's good.
Yeah, well, it's going to be exciting with the new personnel, the new offensive coordinator, so there'll be a whole different look, presumably, and then these rule changes.
Well, I think Mr. Rooney got his message through, didn't he?
He did. When he gave the State of the Steelers address a few weeks ago, he said, we'll make some changes, whatever's necessary. So here we go.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader. Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.